he will come up with some of the most random shit and it just happens to be brilliant. But putting it into action or making sure that like it gets started, like that's kind of where I come into play. Like if he tells me something that he wants to do and he's like 98% sure, I will just kind of run with it without asking him because it won't get done.
Yeah, and that's how we got a beach house.
That is how we got a beach house.
This is Married to the Startup, where marital bliss meets entrepreneurial mayhem. George and Alicia have spent over a decade juggling five kids, multiple startups, and a surprising amount of free time. On each episode, they'll dish on the triumphs and meltdowns that come with mixing family and startups, from the boardroom to the bedroom. No topic is off limits. Real and raw. Real and raw. And now your hosts, George, the CEO who traded the corporate grind for sleepless nights and investor tantrums, and Alicia, who swapped a peaceful life for the roller coaster of coaching entitled founders. This is Married to the Startup, where love meets chaos and entrepreneurship reigns supreme.
Welcome to episode one,
the inaugural episode
of Married to the Startup. I am your host, Alicia McKenzie.
And I am her other half, George McKenzie. I would say better, but that's not accurate. So it's just, I'm the other one here.
And this is our grassroots version of our podcast. I feel like we've toyed around with the idea of doing one of these for a while. So now that you've got some free time on your hands.
Yeah. I have some free time, so it's time to get the podcast in motion and just share some insights and give me a place to talk. Since now I'm on sabbatical again, I need an outlet for all these words.
Yeah, since we have no boardroom.
No, not right now. So,
I think just a little bit about us. I guess we're married with five kids.
Yeah. Yep, that's it. We're done. Married with five kids. You can know us now. So if you don't have the video, you will tell that my wife is very beautiful and, you know, model quality. And I am, you know, okay looking and a white bald guy with a beard. So, you know, that's very descriptive. I think that's all you need to know about me.
And we have, I guess we've got a little bit of a background in that he is in the IT startup world. I am in the health and wellness world. And together we do some investment, real estate. And
you're also an author.
I'm an author. I'm working on a children's book. So I think we wear many hats, but we pride ourselves on being present or as present as we can for our children. Yeah. So I think that our take on the entrepreneurship world and our family world, it all kind of mixes together. And I think it's unique. I think the way we do life is pretty unique.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think, we mix in quite our fair share of travel, and we do so while balancing the questions of how do you raise your kids in a wealthy society when they have to one day earn their own living, and you don't want them to raise five spoiled brats. They all have to understand that they have to work for a living, and work isn't always fun. So it's a challenge to enjoy the life that you've created for yourself while at the same time trying to create five offspring that have the drive that got you to where you are.
Yeah. So I think that leads us into where did we get started? I was definitely not raised how we are raising our children. You weren't either. I come from a military family. So my mother did 20 years in the Marine Corps. My dad did 27. I grew up moving around. I went to a private school, but we were very boom and bust. One year we had it all, one year we had nothing. So I don't take a lot of things for granted. I'm very appreciative, but also I make sure to enjoy what we have.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit of the opposite. I was raised by, two parents that worked. My mom worked a little until I was born, then she didn't work anymore. My dad did construction. So, working and not working was a lot of the time. And we grew up fairly poor. So I have a different outlook on life where I am a hoarder and
100% a hoarder.
Yes. And I hoard money and I don't like to spend it. And I think that that's the yin and the yang of the relationship. And as my wife would say, I want nice things, but I want to not pay for them.
I will say I have gotten him out of the hoarding a little bit. I think we've gotten better over the last year or so, or worse.
I just hide it better.
So that's kind of our background. But then we've been together for goodness, how long, babe?
A little over 16 years.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Seems like a really long time.
Yeah. So I'll talk a little bit about my origin story and then how I got into entrepreneurship. So yeah, I'm a graduate of George Mason University, so a local kid born and raised here in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area.
One of the few people who were born and raised in this area.
Yeah, and I get the itch about every 18 months that I've got to move out of here, and I try to find a different city in which I can get my wife to agree to move to, which have yet to be successful in that.
It's never going to happen.
I worked in the IT field as soon as I was a junior in college, and I've worked since I was 16, you know, doing, you know, jobs that paid hourly. And then eventually when I went to college, I got my first job doing PKI, pre-sales engineering, which was the wave of the future.
What's PKI?
Public key infrastructure.
Thank you.
Yeah. So did that for a few years, then got looped into a managed security services provider, which was a global one at the time. And at that point, there was a lot of labor that was intelligent and smart, and a lot of coders and computer science degree people, and not a lot of technology in the space. I worked for a company. We wrote our own information management tool, and then we did managed security services and security operations services, and then did that until the dot-com bubble was bursting here in the Northern Virginia area, and decided, hey, I'm going to take it easy. Grab a government contracting job, become a number, and just sit out, collect a paycheck, and did that for probably 3 or 4 months. And then when 9/11 happened, I was part of the team that built the first network for Department of Homeland Security and the Security Operations Center and Incident Response Center, and did all that work. And then worked for a lot of the what they call Beltway Bandits around here, which is the big integrators. Decided I thought I had a better way of doing it, so I created my first company, Defense Point Security, with a couple of friends of mine. And that was a success. I think it was 7 years into the journey with Defense Point that we sold to Accenture, and then did that for a while, then got linked up with another friend and acquired a controlling interest of another company. And then we sold that company to a private equity firm, and then, you know, operated that for a while. And then now I'm looking at what my next thing's going to be.
What's kind of crazy is that we owned a CrossFit in between there.
We did.
We were kind of competitive in that little
You
space.
Were. I was not.
Yeah, I was a competitive USAW and CrossFit athlete. But all during that time, we never stopped having children. So it has been, it's been an interesting last, I would say, like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah, 10. We've been having kids for 12 years.
Yeah, Michaela's 12.
But yeah, I think maybe we should delve into a little bit of the CrossFit experience.
Yeah, it feels like it was light years away. But we owned a CrossFit from probably 2010. Through, I think we sold it when Maddox was born.
Yeah.
So all that time, I would say about 6 years, 6 to 7 years, we were competing, we were traveling, we were doing all of that crazy CrossFit stuff. And then when we had kid number four, it just got to be too much and it stopped being fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we sold it, and then we moved some equipment to a home gym. And now we work out mostly at home. We also have our sauna and our cold plunge. We've gotten really into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that, I'm sure, in another episode.
That's for sure going to be a different episode. Because like health and wellness is like all the rage, and there's more things coming out left and right that I can't even keep up. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah, and if you're plotting this on a timeline, so the CrossFit experience was a couple years into the Defense Point experience, which was my first company. So I was, you know, working full time. Alicia was managing coaching. Most of the gym and coaching, and I was doing guest spot appearances coaching. And I think it was it's amazing when you talk to folks about what's the genesis, what's the idea, how do you get into starting your own business? And I walked through a little bit about how I did that with Defense Point. But the gym one was, we were avid CrossFitters and thought we could do our own gym. And then we talked about it for a while, and Alicia was running home from a CrossFit workout, and mid-run, she breaks her ankles. I guess backstory here, we just finished working out, and I said, all right, let's get in the car. We're going to head home. She goes, oh, well, let's go for a run. I was like, well, I'll meet you at home because I'm not running. I drove home, and then like 20 minutes later, she still wasn't there. And then she calls me crying from the side of the road that she thinks she broke her ankle.
Which I 100% like I hit the curb wrong and like my ankle just snapped and then it just blew up to the size of a softball. So I'm literally like laying on the side of the road in the gravel and he has to come scoop me up and drive me to the ER. It was very dramatic. But during
not the only time I've had to scoop you up from the side of the road having crashed a bike or run.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But during that 6 weeks where I really couldn't do anything, I was just kind of on the couch because crutches are terrible. So I didn't want to go anywhere or do anything. We decided to open up a gym.
During those 6 weeks, she wrote the business plan, got the business incorporated, got our CrossFit license, got certified, got the building, and started ordering equipment. So it was a very productive injury, I would say.
Yeah, I think moral of the story is he's the idea man and I'm kind of the executioner.
I think the idea man maybe doesn't give it enough credit. What are you? You're a manifesting generator and I'm a manifester?
No, you're a generator.
A generator. All right.
You're a generator.
I don't know any of this stuff. So
if you go onto My Human Design and you'll put in your date of birth, where you were born and the time you were born, and it'll spit out whether you're a generator or a manifesting generator or a manifester, so on and so forth. He is a generator, which means that he generates the ideas and he is fantastic at it. Like his ideas left and right, and he will come up with some of the most random shit and it just happens to be brilliant. But putting it into action or making sure that like it gets started, like that's kind of where I come into play. Like if he tells me something that he wants to do and he's like 98% sure, I will just kind of run with it without asking him because it won't get done.
Yeah, and that's how we got a beach house.
That is how we got a beach house.
Yeah, so true. And then some of my mentors have said that the difference between the people that make it and the people that don't, it's not the ideas. Everyone has great ideas and generates incredible ideas. And the people that invented Uber and all those guys, you know, even the people that took credit for inventing it, may have not been the people that invented it. But everyone has those ideas or had that idea 2 years before them. But it's taking that idea and implementing it and doing the hard work, the grunt work of entrepreneurship day in and day out to make an idea reality. I think that's the difference here. And then if you're listening to the podcast and you're to be entrepreneur, understand that that's the delta. Everyone has great ideas. Your idea is probably not more brilliant or exceptional or unique than anybody else's. It's can you put that into action?
Yeah, I think a lot of everything in life, right? It's just consistency. Even with content creation, it's all about consistency. With being an author, it's consistency. Can you put aside that 30 minutes a day to write your book? Like, sure, people have great ideas. Everybody thinks they can write a children's book, but putting it into a document is actually a lot harder than you think because finding that time, like I could sit there and scroll on Instagram for 30 minutes or I could write a book. Right? So it's with anything. It's with working out. It's with eating right. It's all about consistency.
Yeah, with supplements and vitamins are another one. Like I struggle to remember to do it every day.
It takes on average 66 days to make a habit. So any of these 21 days or like 30 day challenges, like they're all bullshit. Like they don't work because after 21 days, it's not a habit. It's just you're going to forget about it. You're going to stop doing it. So really focus on making it to that 60 day mark.
Yeah, I think that maybe touch on, you know, along the lines of all the discussion we've had of, and you know, the entrepreneurship and, you know, I think we glazed over the 5 kid part.
Oh.
And how do we work together and then still, you know, be friends?
Yeah. So we do have 5 kids and I think that we have 5 kids, but we also have set up our life that I feel like it's not as hard as it would be if we were doing it on our own, right? My mother lives with us. You were very lucky to actually like enjoy the company of your mother-in-law. Not everybody does.
Exactly. I looked up.
We have, some help at home in the form of our amazing nanny who is probably currently napping with Maya right now.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
And we also have somebody that comes in on a daily basis and just helps us keep up with certain things that like the laundry and just making sure that the house isn't a total wreck.
Yeah. But I think it's important for everyone to remember that that's not how it started. Right. So I think, you know, when we were in the CrossFit DPS days and, you know, 2 children, even 3 children, there was no nanny. There was no help. It was just us grinding through it.
And absolutely.
Even during those times, you know, making sure that, you know, you find time to be husband and wife and not just mom and dad or not just coworkers, which you can fall into that trap very easily, both being, you know, in the same line of business when we were running the CrossFit together and coaching and competing together. It's a hard journey, but you have to be able to not take everything seriously.
It's hard to turn it off though. When you're working together and a lot of the things that you do together intersect, it's really, really hard to kind of like turn off the work or turn off the... So even when we're out to dinner, like we're talking about our kids or we're talking about finances or we're talking about where we're going to be in the future. And it's not a bad thing. Like, I don't think everything has to be so separate.
Yeah. I mean, I think we still find time to quick hug or quick dance in the kitchen while we're making dinner and kids are running rampant. And I think you got to make time every time. Like, it's not just let's have Thursdays where we're going to go to dinner together and then that'll be the day we hug and kiss. And
yeah, I think that's the misconception. The misconception is that everything is going to be perfectly segregated in their little boxes. So like at this time, we're going to talk about business. At this time, we're going to eat dinner. Like that's not the way it works for breakfast. Like I have breakfast with Maya almost every morning, but I can guarantee you that my laptop is probably in front of me and I'm either running payroll or working on content or doing something. Like there is no turning it off, but I make sure that I am present and I am eating breakfast with her and I am biting her toes when they're on the table. Like it's just... there's no way to keep everything that we do separate. Like it's impossible.
Yeah. And I think that that's important for folks, especially, you know, if you're an entrepreneur or, you know, as we say in the title, married to the startup is, you know, it's part of your life and it's ingrained everywhere. It's not just, oh, I'm going to go to work for 8 hours and come home. And that's not the life of an entrepreneur. You're working 18 hours a day. And in that 18 hours, you still have to be a father. You still have to be a husband. You still have to be, you know, you.
Absolutely. Like last night, for instance, it was 7 o'clock at night. I was putting the boys to bed and you're like, I need to go on the treadmill and then I'm going to go do my cold plunge. We're like, all right, good. High five, tag out. You're out. I'm in. Right. It's little things that you have to do to make sure that you hold on to that part of yourself or something that's important to you. Right. If it's a priority, you're going to make time for it. If it's not, you're going to make an excuse.
Yep.
Right?
Preach.
One thing that kind of annoys me, I think everybody you see on social media or on LinkedIn, like they have all these great tips, like get up at 5 a.m. What time do you wake up every day?
Between 6:40 and 7 o'clock. And I get to sleep in sometimes on the weekends. My goal is 8 o'clock.
And we say sometimes because we have little kids. Like it is what it is there.
And a puppy.
And a puppy. Oh, your puppy.
The puppy episode.
The puppy
episode. Stay tuned. No.
We do. We have a brand new puppy. So we not only have a 2-year-old, we have a new puppy. But that's
yeah. I'm sure every couple listening that has kids can relate that no matter how long your night went and how many drinks you had or how many glasses of wine you had and how amazing it was, your kids still get up at 6 o'clock. That they don't sleep in and have hangovers, but you do. You have the hangovers, but just not the sleeping in.
Which is why I think the only time I really get down like hard is in Vegas.
Yeah, when you don't have kids.
When I don't have my kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even then, I think I woke up at 9 a.m.
Yeah, even when we were in Bora Bora, we were up at 5:15 every day with the sun.
It was kind of awesome. But I think the point is that setting your life up based on what somebody told you on social media, like you really need to figure out what works for you.
Yeah. And I know I'm aging myself. I'm a Gen Xer and she's a millennial.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah, I'm not a boomer. I'm an Xer. But yeah, I don't subscribe to the hustle life where everything's got to be a side hustle. You need 10 side hustles and you got to work harder. You got to get up earlier. You got to hustle more. I'm a big fan of multiple revenue streams for sure, but not of if you're not continuously learning and continuously hustling for new things. Like hustle is a big part of it, but it's focused hustle. It's not just run 1,000 directions all at once.
Yeah,
you get nowhere.
I think there's a big difference between being busy.
Yeah.
And like actually accomplishing something because sure, we can all be busy as hell, but I don't want to be busy. I want to be accomplished.
Yeah, that's a good distinction. Yeah, I think that that's the, and we get too caught up in American life. It becomes part of our vernacular. What are you up to? Oh, busy. So busy.
Right?
Yeah.
But then you feel bad because everybody's like, oh, I'm so busy. And I'm like, I'm not that busy. Like, how are you not busy? You have 5 kids. I'm like, because I don't want to be busy. Like,
yeah. And as long as you're focused and intentional with what you're doing, it's not to say you don't have your time allocated, but your time can be allocated and not be busy.
Absolutely. That's a really good distinction.
Yeah. She's the ultimate time blocker. I am the ultimate not time blocker. So I'm sure that we'll get into that and how you can stay copacetic in a relationship when one person is very much like to the minute time blocker. Like, oh, no. I'll be in the office at 10 o'clock. We'll work on QuickBooks at 10 and it's 9:57. And like, nope, I got 3 minutes. Like, just go. Let's just start now.
No, I had 3 minutes to decompress. That's the whole point of time blocking. If you're efficient and you have time left over, I get to sit there and scroll Instagram for 3 minutes. That's the way I work, and yeah, almost to a detriment. That's why I had to stop wearing my Apple Watch, because I kept looking down at my arm trying to see what time it is. Like, now I wear a real watch and I never set it, so I have no clue what time it is usually. But I'm very, very efficient at time blocking, like to the minute. Like today, we have until 2:30 to work on podcasting and recording and stuff. And at 2:30, I will be in the car to go get our kids.
Yeah, I think that's something we can delve into at a certain point, because I am not the time blocker, other than, hey, I try to work out at this time every day. And that time is plus or minus 20, 30 minutes.
I mean, he's usually always late.
Usually.
Always.
Yes.
Always. Usually always.
Usually always.
Usually always.
Works 100% of the time, every time.
All right, guys, I think we've rambled enough. Our next few episodes are definitely going to have more of a theme, but this is a little bit of insight into the craziness that is our world. I mean, I like to call it controlled chaos, because we usually have kids or animals running in every direction, but it is 100% controlled. Yeah, and we live for this shit. So.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Episode number one.
Put it in the can.
We're done.
You've been listening to Married to the Startup. These two crazy people have spent over a decade juggling 5 kids and multiple startups and discussing everything from the boardroom to the bedroom. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Married to the Startup. And be sure to hit the website at www.marriedtothestartup.com. Take it easy, and we'll see you next time.